thing was do at the park, we're going to do here. So join us and come, and it'll be a great time for your family, to start a family of faith to come together, encourage one another, and you will be blessed. But something else we want to do this morning, oh, I still need that microphone. Something else we want to do is, many of you may know Don and Natalie. And so I'm going to ask Don to come up here and join me really quick. And then just a moment, he can have some others join him if you'd like. Come on up, brother. And yes, the kids can go now. Yes, sorry. Yeah, so I forgot that part. Yes. So kids, you can go back to Adventure Kids. And but Don has, he has started a missions endeavor in his home country of Cameroon. And so just take a moment, Don, and tell us what's going on.
Oh, it's working. Good morning. Odessa First Assembly, my first family. It's a pleasure this morning for me to present this to you. This has been a project that we've been working on the background. But before I get into that straight up, I want to appreciate a few people. I'm joined here by my Cameroon's president, the president of Cameroon and Midesa family in this area. So he's here to carry the message back. He's representing the whole group. So thank you so much for coming, President. My mom is here, and I thank you for all the work that she does for us. And my wife will be joining shortly. She felt a little sick, so she's running a little bit behind. Again, I want to say thank you, big thank you to my pastor, my spiritual nourisher, Pastor Todd, for the great work he has done in my life and the life of my family for the past going to 14 years that I started coming here. Again, Father Mission that I want to present to you today is being the birth child of Odessa First Assembly. It's through several interactions with the people here that we came to birth this organization. So just a little bit about why we decided to choose or to do something like that, because the why is always very important, because it's a driver to where we're going. So I grew up in a very, I wouldn't say like a very, we are not even middle class, right? We're like right down there. But God started to work in my own life. And I went through school, finished college. I was determined, because everybody else is doing business, I chose to go to school, because I knew others could decide to follow other paths. But after finishing school, something really happened. I went into depression. It was tough. So I decided to go into prayer and fasting. So I fasted for 7 days, and I gave God a request. God, change my situation, and I'll give you all the glory. I went to 7 days of prayer, and I didn't tell nobody. I decided, if anybody asked me why are you not eating, I just told him, no, I'm sorry, I wouldn't eat today, I'm not eating, because I wanted to keep this very private to myself. So there's a house my brother was building on the street, close to the street, and I'll wake up every morning at 4:30 a.m., go pray for 1 hour in that house, incomplete building, and I'll sneak into the house, get into my room and sleep, so that nobody would know what I was doing. As I can tell you, on that 7th day, something happened. I went and prayed, came back, got into my room, and I was sleeping. Then I heard a knock on my door. My brother came in, because after I finished my university, I didn't tell you why I went into depression. I went into depression because after finishing school, I stopped getting the support that I was getting from family to go to school, the financial assistance, and then it was tough to get a job. It took me close to about 6 months getting to, 7 months. I was struggling, nothing coming forth. And I started to ask myself, is this the meaning of education? Is this the meaning? Is this the path? Was it the real path the right path that I took? So I was depressed because everybody was working. My younger sisters, some of them were getting married, and then my younger brother, they all had their businesses. Everybody wakes up and leave, and I stayed in the house. What did I do? I got depressed. So after this prayer on that seventh day, and had this knock on my door, my brother came in and looked at me. I was like, made a joke. What did you say you wanted to do again? And I was like, I wanted to do business, sell old clothing, just sell it. Like, because that was a minimal capital I could afford. Within that, my brother said, I don't think that's going to work. I think you should do something like what I'm doing. He deals in electronics. He sells electronics. So he opted to give me a little bit of money. Like, maybe we'll talk about something close to $2,000. That was my capital. And as I went in, he helped me run around and started and did a few things. And as I tell you, children of God, that was my beginning. The story changed. I started with humble beginnings. When I started that, people came, and instead of them buying stuff for me, they were giving me money to go get stuff for them. So I started seeing how the path was changing. 1 year down the road, as I was serving in the church back there, I did what they call the DV lottery, American lotteries, for some of you that are familiar with that. And one Sunday, I started to go back to my church where I was going to in college. And as I entered that church, one of my teachers tapped me on the back and said, I had a letter that for you that has been lying in my house several months ago that came in. And I was like, who should have sent that letter? I don't know, nobody. And he said, go to my house. My wife knows where it is. And I took a bike, went to his house, and the wife put this letter. It was such a big envelope. And he said, and I looked at it. I said, United States of America. I was like, what? Who would have sent me a letter from this? And then it came to my mind that I had applied for something like 1 year ago, and I forgot about it. And as I tell you, that was a game changer for me. I decided to turn over the business to my younger brother. I called him, even though he was already operating his own business. I said, as my younger brother, I need to help you out. I need to just hand this to you. You run it, but I'll be leaving. So I want to tell you, on that night, during this prayer, I had made a covenant with God. I said, God, change my story, and I'll give you all the glory. Everything that I possess after this journey will belong to you. So after I had come to the United States, it was like Joseph landing in Egypt. The journey was not easy either. But finally, God has shown us a path. And God has honored his own part of that journey. And it is time for me to honor my own. Because when I decided to get married to my wife, I thought she was coming from a flamboyant family too. Her story became so similar to mine. Her father had an accident as a teacher and had not worked for so much time, and they had cut off his income. And as I speak to you today, her father's salary that was retained for over 15 years got released yesterday. We are talking about millions. So they went down on a very rough path because the father was, not only was he injured, her mother went through sufferings and finally lost her own life in that journey. But the father is still alive, but because he had an accident, his leg amputated. And because of that, my wife told me, they went through hell to be able to get raised up. So our stories became a little bit merged. So that is why when we gave birth to Faith and Diana, we decided to name them Divine Faith, because we grew by faith. We emerged by faith. Diana and Faith. Diana means divine faith. So we dedicated these children to God. So the banner that you have out there is Father Missions. It stands for Faith, Diana, and Akos Family Mission. So the family, Odessa First Assembly family, through our very good relationship, has been able to help us, through some of you, to found this organization. I want to give special gratitude to my pastor here, Pastor Todd, who is serving on board as an advisory, our spiritual lead. We have to give special appreciation to the Atkins family. We want to give special appreciation to Becky Rivera. This lady has accomplished a lot in our lives because she changed Ken. Some of you remember Ken. She helped Ken acquire a lot of scholarships to the point where Ken went through from bachelor's to master's degree without having acquired a single student loan. That is why Ken graduated from Johns Hopkins University and is now working in Pittsburgh. Tell me, children of God, if this is not God's grace, what can it be? Should I honor my own part of the engagement? Should I or should I not? I should. So that is why we have founded Father Mission. And I want to tell you a little bit more about what we're doing. We are focused in three different areas because we know a lot of people are going through what I went through. A lot of people are going through what my wife went through. A lot of people, if you look at Cameroon right now, there's a war that is going on. So it's still one part of the country, the north and the west side of it, is affected by serious war. And so a lot of children are not attending school. They've been dropped out. And there's a lot of crime that has been emerging because of all these children. So I think it is our responsibility, having received such grace from God, to step up and look back and save others who might be going through what we're going through, right? We went through. So there's much information. We have a website. We have, like I said, we're focused in three different areas. We're doing hospitals, we're doing schools, and we're doing community involvement. If you look, we have a banner outside there. When you step out, please just take a moment. You can scan the code, and it's going to take you to the website. There's a QR code there. Scan it. It's going to take you to the website, and you can see everything that we're doing. If you want to sign up, if you feel touched and want to be part of missions, you have a link where you can actually sign up as a volunteer, or you want to be involved. We would truly, truly appreciate your involvement. Not to speak too much, but that is the journey today, and we pray that you all will join us in this journey. Whatever contribution you can do, pray for us, whatever is going to take us a long way. And this is a story. Thank you so much, Pastor Todd, for letting me share.
Yes.
And so, just so you know, this is part one. We are just stepping in from now because we're going to have an annual galas. We have mission trips that are coming up. We have so much that is going up. So there's so much room for everybody to get involved and if you're interested. And like I said, there's going to be so much coming up. We have a Facebook page that's going to be pop up like this afternoon. We have a YouTube. You can follow us on YouTube. We're going to have Instagram. And you can also see the website like I mentioned. Thank you all. Thank you.
So we want to pray. And so I'm going to ask Ken and Vicky, would y'all mind to come up as our representing deacons this morning? And I think Ben has been on security. Is he? So we want to pray with them. So just really in short, they are created an organization to where they're sending aid and help back in Cameroon. And so that is starting with a medical clinic and a lot of other plans. Don, the other day in one of our meetings, was talking about how that they just recently, one of the schools that they went to, were still using rocks as chairs. And so, we're in 2024. That's kind of still, for me, kind of hard to comprehend, even in areas such as Africa. And so they were able to get benches there to that school. And so they just really have a heart for their homeland and really see God do something there. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we just want to pray just the Lord, this work be dedicated to the Lord, and that the windows of heaven be opened up and opportunity. And so, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we pray for Fada Missions, Lord. Just your hand be upon this work. We know that it was birthed by your Spirit, Lord. We know that so many things begin at what seems to be just small mustard seeds. But Lord, we know that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no is there in the heart of man the things that you have prepared for those that love you. You've prepared a great thing, Lord, in the Echo family. And so we pray your hand upon them. Lord, we pray for provision. We pray for direction. Lord, we pray for wisdom. And we pray for the work in Cameroon, Lord. Just for the windows of heaven to be open, Lord. Opportunities for needs to be met, Lord. We pray that the clinic and the school and all that's in the works, Lord, and the dreams that are being dreamt, Lord, that we see it all come to fruition in a powerful way. And that we see your kingdom established, Lord, in a powerful way there in Cameroon. And we thank you, Lord, for Natalie and Don and their family and their heart, Lord, to be sensitive towards you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now we have video announcements.
Good morning and welcome to Odessa First Assembly. We are so glad you're here. If this is your first time, scan the QR code in front of you or fill out a Connect card and take it to the information desk. We have a special gift waiting for you.
Tithes and offerings can be given in the back of the sanctuary, online at odessafirst.com. Or in the Church Center app. Don't have the Church Center app? Download it today in your app store. And while you are there, grab the YouVersion app to follow along with today's sermon.
There's exciting things happening.
Check it out.
Hey, OFA family, we're so excited for our Easter extravaganza. Coming up March 24th at 5 p.m. at Crump Park, we'll be having an Easter egg hunt and a cookout. This is an event for the whole family and a chance for us to reach out to and love on our community and show the love of Jesus to people who might not know him. For more information or how you can help, stop by the information desk.
We hope today's service blesses you, and be sure to follow us online at Odessa First AG.
Amen. If we have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 10. We're going to pick up right there in just a moment. But we do want to honor someone else in the house. We have some pastors from Cuba, and so we want to welcome pastors. Let me scroll down. Pastors Neddy and Margarita from Cuba, are you? Neddy? Oh, right over here. So let's welcome them. Welcome. So they have their translation devices on. It's an honor for you to be in the house this morning. So grateful that you're here. God bless you. And so excited what God is doing. So much happening and going on. But it's a reminder that that we're going to be here, not Crump Park, so at 5. So we're not blown away by the wind. And Easter coming up. We're just about a week away from today, right? And so that's always a special weekend. Have three services. Saturday, March 30th, will be our bilingual service. And so it won't be done through translation devices, but it'll be done live here on the stage, bilingual. I'll be preaching and Angela will be translating. And so we're excited about that. And then we have two services on Sunday, one at 9:15. And just want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to attend, especially those that serve. So 9:15, our morning service, Easter Sunday, and 11 a.m., our second service. We'll have all nurseries and adventure kids, everything happening at 11 on Easter Sunday. And so pick a time, join us, sign up to serve. It's going to be an exciting day. Today's an exciting day. And so John chapter 10, we're in part 6 of the series and talking about the I am statements of Jesus. And so let's pray before we get started. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We just thank you for your work in this house, Lord. Thank you for all that we get to be a part of. Lord, with Brother Paul, the work in India, and now Brother Don and Natalie, the work in Cameroon, we're so honored. Thank you, Lord. For our Spanish speakers that are growing in our church family, Lord, thank you. Thank you. But we pray today that our hearts would be good soil to receive your word, that you'd speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Looking at John chapter 10, beginning in verse 9, we're picking up at the last two verses that we talked about last week. Remember, we were in John chapter 10, and last week we talked about Jesus being the gatekeeper, the door. And we're going to pick up right there, John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And I'm going to tell you that verse is in direct correlation with what we read in John chapter 10, verse 10. The reason why that we have life and have it abundantly is because the good shepherd laid his life down for his sheep. Verse 12, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves his sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay my life down for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I bring them also, and they also will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock. I'm going to draw emphasis in a moment, but I just really feel the importance to say this right now, is that when that says that I have sheep from another flock, I'm going to just gloss over it a little bit later, but I want to take the time to mention this. If you've ever encountered either anybody from the Watchtower or Mormon, they point to this verse a lot that is talking about them. It is not talking about them. It is talking about Gentiles. It's talking about us. We are the ones of the other fold. If you are not of Jewish descent and you are not Jewish, then you are Gentile. So if and the reason why Jesus gave his life was for the Jew and the Gentile, and he's saying that there's these other sheep in this fold, these Gentiles who have not been able to practice Judaism, but I'm going to lay my life down, and I'm going to bring them in. And so it says something very important, those last few words, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. Verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay my life down that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it back up again, which we're going to celebrate next week. This charge I have received from my Father. So last week we talked about the blind man in chapter 9 is what necessitated and what Jesus and his teaching in all of John chapter 10 is the reason for that. Because what did they do? Do you remember last week we emphasized it very clearly that after the blind man was healed, the Pharisees had such issue and there was an exchange that happened and the Pharisees kicked him out. They excommunicated him. They're like, you know, the reason you were blind was because of sin. Get away from us. And the Bible says that Jesus went and found him went and found him. And then Jesus began to have this exchange, and he is speaking to the Pharisees. I mean, he is telling them, if you remember last week, we talked about the sheep pen and him being that door. And you need to go back and listen online, and you could get the whole the whole meat of it. But, and so he was talking about these guys that come in over the wall and who are not the way, who do not have good intentions. And what he was saying is that was the Pharisees. You're trying to come in a different way. And he goes on and he continues this as we read on in John chapter 10. And so the Pharisees, in short, really, they had positioned themselves to be the door. The Pharisees were determining who had access to God. I mean, that's what it comes down to. But Jesus says, they are not the door. I'm the door. And not only am I the door, but I am the good shepherd. And both of them, both of these statements, all the people of the day knew exactly what Jesus was trying to say. And so he switches these metaphors from I am the door to I am the good shepherd. And now, I don't know, I haven't really done a whole lot of study on this, and I've heard things all of my life, and quite frankly, I've had some life experience with sheep. And I have determined something is that sheep tend to be stupid or dumb. I shouldn't say the S word. They're dumb. They're ignorant. And you can read a lot about them. You know, this week I read this about sheep, that if you put sheep in a pen and they eat all the grass, and even if there's other pasture close by, unless they are led to the other pasture by the shepherd, they will stay where they eat all the grass, and they will stay there till they die. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to find a way to get food. No fat jokes, please. I mean, that's pretty ignorant, right? That and when I've heard it said that if a sheep goes stray, that, you know, they'll break the legs. That's something I've heard. I didn't Google it. I mean, because Google knows everything, right? And is right about everything. But that was facetious, by the way. That was a little shot off the bat. Okay. So, you know, they break the sheep's legs, and then, you know, the shepherd will put the sheep around his neck, and it said once the legs are healed, they'll never stray. I've heard that if a sheep has an itch on its head and it'll hit its head against a post to scratch that itch, but it'll forget that it's already itched to scratch, and it'll beat its head against a post till it kills itself. That sounds pretty dumb. And all of that sounds exaggerated to me. Like I said, I don't know if that's actually true. But then I read a story. I read a story about these 1,500 sheep. It happened in Turkey. It happened in 2005. It was in all the major news carriers. And so there was these 1,500 sheep, right? And this one sheep decided to go by this cliff and just jumped off to its death, about 60 feet. And so for some reason, all the other sheep were like, "Oh, that looks fun." All 1,500 sheep jumped off that cliff before the shepherds could get to them. And they say about 500 of them die. I mean, because once you have enough cotton, I guess, it saved the other ones. And so so quite a few of them lived. 500 of them died. And if all the other stuff is an exaggeration, that's a true story. And so the thing is, so many times when we hear this passage preached, I know when I look across my lifetime, it's usually focused on the sheep. And I'll sum up that sermon for you. Sheep are not smart. You are sheep. You are not smart. Follow Jesus. That pretty good easy points, right? But the reality is that... This passage is not about sheep. This passage is not about how bad we are. I just had to, right? That was like a dad thing. It's not about how bad we are, it's about how good the shepherd is. That's the focus. The past is not about the foolishness that we can that we can be and partake of. It's about the goodness of God. And I don't know, but I can be a little stubborn. Now, are y'all going to really leave me all alone on that branch? I would dare say there's a few. If you're Texan, you're stubborn. It's in our DNA. But I can be a little bit stubborn. And, you know, I'm the one that I like to blaze my own trail. I don't like following the crowd. I can be resistant to the crowd. But when it comes down to it, we really need to get our cue from the mountaintop for meeting with God than from the society around us. And it's sometimes said as a joke, but I never heard, some of you may have heard this. If your friends jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge too? Did anybody ever hear that? The sheep parents. Just because that dumb sheep jumped off the cliff doesn't mean you got to too, right? I mean, my parents never told me that. My parents told me, quit jumping off the bridge so those other people follow you. That was kind of what happened in my house. But I'm stubborn. I get hard-headed. And whether it's from upbringing or whatever reason why, but even those of us that have independence, we may not see ourselves as the sheep followers, but we're those that blaze the trail. We still have the shepherd. I mean, the Bible says, don't copy the behavior patterns of this world, but be transformed. Listen, when God made you, he broke the mold. And there's a lot of people that believe in the doppelganger, that you got some twin somewhere in the 7 billion people on the planet, and that may be true. They may look like you, but they'll never be you because God created you to be you. But in this text, it's not about how the sheep, it's about the shepherd. We see in verse 12, he who is a hired hand is not a shepherd. He does not own his sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And so I want you to get this picture. So here's Jesus talking about this moment. And the Pharisees are an earshot or whatever it is. But when Jesus is making this statement, he's eyeballing them. Are you following me? I mean, that's the historical context of this. When Jesus says that there are hired men, and there's hired men, hired people, but when the wolf comes, they're going to scatter. He's saying that's them. And he's making the contrast and making the statement, they're going to flee and they're going to leave you, but the good shepherd never abandons. I said the good shepherd never abandons. It doesn't matter the kind of wolf that's coming in. That wolf may be a false teacher. That wolf may be the enemy. That wolf may be a storm. That wolf may be a battle. But the good shepherd, he never abandons. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He never, 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 never abandons. I remember something that happened right here in our church. The date was June 26, 2016. And, I had to lock up the church after everybody left. And apparently at some point in that time, whether it was Shaylee or Andrew, somebody said, hey, Shaylee's riding with you, because we're just like every normal, you're a normal church family when every person in the home drives a car to the church instead of coming in one car. But anyway, so we're just like other families, and so we coming in two cars because I'm usually up here pretty early. And so Shaylee, I vaguely remember that conversation, but it was time to go, and I didn't see Shaylee, and so I just left. I left, and I went by a restaurant, and I picked up some food, and I got home. I walk in the door, and Chase says, so Shaylee at the time is 14. Chase is 11. Chase says, where's Shaylee? I was like, well, didn't she come with y'all? He's like, no. And so I went to Angela. I was like, is Shaylee with you? And she said, no. Well, and then she says, well, maybe that's why I just got a Facebook request from her. And I was like, oh no. So we're talking a little bit of time here. And so I speed back up here at the church, and Shaylee's up here, and she is so mad. And when I get back home, she even emailed us. And so I saved the email. And so, you left me at church. What's wrong with you? I'll never forget it. Never forget it. Never forget it. But the good shepherd's not going to forget you at church. The good shepherd is never going to abandon you. Listen to me. It doesn't matter what you do wrong, the good shepherd's not going to give up on you. It doesn't matter where you fall short, the good shepherd is not going to give up on you. It doesn't matter what mistake you make, the good shepherd doesn't say, oh, they messed up too much this time, sayonara, see you later. He'll never say that because he never, never, never abandons. Never. The good shepherd never abandons. I mean, Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is one friend who sticks closer than a brother. I know it seems like I've said it so many times. I've said it so many times in recent weeks and months. I don't know. Sometimes I think, have I lost creativity? Am I just in a rut? Or maybe the Lord is trying to speak something to us in our church. In the pain, he says, I am the good shepherd. I am there with you. In the darkness, I am the good shepherd, and I am there with you. In the sickness, I'm the good shepherd, and I am there with you. In the brokenness, I'm the good shepherd, and I am there with you. In the struggle, I'm the good shepherd, and I am there with you. In the doctor's office, I am the good shepherd, and I am there with you. In the lawyer's office, I am the good shepherd, and I am there with you. In the workplace, in the battle, in the valley, I am the good shepherd, and I am there with you. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 40:11, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, and he will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with the young. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Our text goes on to say in John 10, verse 14, he makes an announcement again. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Listen, I want to tell you something else. Is the good shepherd knows his sheep, but the good shepherd knows you. He knows you. He knows the real you. He knows the you when nobody else is around you, and he still loves you. He knows everything about you, and he loves you. He knows every time you mess up, and he still loves you. He knows when you sin, and he still loves you. He sees you when no one else sees you, and he still loves you. I know my own, and my own know me. We had a funny exchange. I throw my family under the bus so many times on my sermons, but I'm gonna throw some of our own church people. So yesterday, if you got I tried something a little different, talking about the change in the venue, going from the park to here. Remember, today here, 5 p.m., got to grill hot dogs, have a good time, all that kind of stuff. But I did a voicemail. Now, maybe you didn't answer it because on your phone it could have come up spam or something like that. But I sent out a voice message telling our church, we're changing the park to here. Well, in some of our leadership text group, Anne-Marie pointed out that it came up as spam, but it made it sound like she didn't realize it was my voice. And Tony quickly responded on there. He said, "That was Pastor Todd. The sheep know the shepherd's voice." So that made us all feel like Anne-Marie didn't recognize my voice on the voice message. But listen to me. The sheep also know the shepherd's voice. You know, I used this illustration some years ago, and I want to use it again this morning. And it's just a quick video, and what you're going to see is a group of people, and they're trying to do the shepherd's call for the sheep, and they're just ignoring it. And then the shepherd gets up and makes his call. Let's roll that video really quick. So that's somebody else trying to do the shepherd's call. You can hear really good there. So three different people trying to call those sheep. Then the shepherd comes in. So they're all looking. Isn't that pretty cool? I mean, I think that's pretty cool. I like, you know, cows are a little bit of the same way. Cows get accustomed, and the rancher coming and honking their horn, you know, and they'll come to the feeding spot. Maybe it's mean, I know, but I'll go through past, you know, I'm going to honk my horn and get the cow's attention. I'm like, sorry, psych. But anyway. But I want to respond when my shepherd calls. And I think sometimes we get in this place, and it's really better asked in a question. Are you responding to every voice in your life? Because if you're responding to every voice in your life, you can't respond to the shepherd's voice. Because you're preoccupied, you're confused, you're busy, you're looking for answers in places and areas where there's no answers. We have to learn the shepherd's voice and learn his call. And what I've discovered, if I want to be successful at something, if I want to grow in something, if I want to see maturity happening in my life, I can't listen to everybody else. I've got to tune into the shepherd's voice, because it's the shepherd that leads us to green pastures. It's the shepherd that leads us to quiet waters. It's the shepherd that prepares a place before us, even in the midst of our enemies. It's the shepherd that does that. Nobody else can do that. It's the shepherd. It's the shepherd that leads us with his rod and his staff, that he comforts us and he guides us. And then we get to that verse in John 10, 16, right? I talked about it, that there's not sheep of this fold. I must bring them also, so there'll be one flock, one shepherd. But I wanna close with this as our altar help and music can come to the platform. But in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, we read this. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay my life that I may take it up again. And so once again, we're going to celebrate this. I mean, in the moment Jesus is saying this, I dare say the followers or the disciples didn't get it. Like it didn't, you know, the light bulb didn't go off. But I mean, Jesus is talking about that he's about to go to crucifixion, and that he's going to die on a cross. He's going to be placed in a grave, but he's not going to stay in that grave because God's going to raise him up on the third day. I lay my life down that I may take it up again. Death and resurrection. Verse 18, no one takes it. Listen, when he was in the garden and they came to arrest him. That all happened by his design. That's the sovereignty and the providence of God. And we need to understand that. It wasn't just finally, because the Pharisees had other chances. And matter of fact, when you read the account of when he's arrested, Jesus says that. How often was I at the temple? How many chances have you had to arrest me? And he's making the point, you're choosing now because now is a time that I have set. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. You say no one has the authority to take my life. I have to give my life. I have the authority to lay it down. I have the authority to take it up again. And this charge I have received from my Father. And it simply comes down to this. The good shepherd laid his life down for you and me. He laid his life down for you and me. He laid his life down and became the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He even talks about how, and I think I skipped over the verse, but you know, Scripture even tells us that the sheep that have gone astray, the sheep without a shepherd, and he came to be our shepherd. And I want you to know this morning that, you know, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And such a simple verse. We all know that verse. But really, I think if we gloss over it too much, we really miss what's being said. Is that he gave his son for you. He gave his son for you. See, we read the words world, but God sees Ron. Right? We see the word world, but God sees Kathy. We see the word world, but God sees April. We see the term world, but God sees Martha. And Jesus, he laid his life down for you. Because we didn't have a shepherd. We were lost sheep, being led astray by wolves and all the like. But he came in and he gave his life for us, for each and every one of us. And so many times people think, you know, I'll give my life to God when I can get a little better. I'll serve him when I can get my life cleaned up a little bit. I'll do it when I can be consistent. But you have to remember that he wants you where you are just the way that you are. And he will do his work on the inside of you. And it is a salvation thing. It's that Jesus comes in and he cleanses us and he washes us and he makes us new and we get in right relationship with God. But that's not the only place where the shepherd leads us. He leads us to a place of life and life abundantly, to growth, to maturity. And as you grow in the Lord, I want to tell you something. We don't do this because it just makes, you know, all of a sudden life becomes easy. Life is never easy. We do this because it's the only way to find life. Are you following me this morning? We do this because it's the only way to find life and life abundantly. And so maybe you're here today and you feel like you're one of those sheep that you've been locked up in that pasture that's been all ate up and nothing but covered in other sheep manure, and you're ready for to be led to better pasture. I mean, you need something to shift and to change in your life, that to experience life. Listen, I believe something, and sometimes it's not always easy to believe. It's, you know, when you feel like the world is caving in on you and nothing else can go wrong, that is a difficult moment. Are you really leading me, Lord? Do you really have a good plan for me? Is this really worth it? Is it, and go through all that process, but when it's all said and done, I've resolved something, that my service to the Lord and my worship to God will never be determined by my circumstance. It'll always be determined about his goodness. I want to ask you to stand this morning, if you would. As you stand, just everyone in this room, I want to ask you to close your eyes just for a moment. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus this morning. And we're so thankful. We're so thankful for you. We're so thankful for the promises of your word.